Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Susanna Constantine, and this is my wardrobe malfunction. How are you all? Glad to have us back in your ears? We really hope you are. And hope you like the fact that we've gone a little off-piste with some of our guests this season. In fact, this is episode number 73, and the first time we've ever had two guests for the price of one. If you're over 40, you probably will never have heard of them, but anyone in their teens or early 20s most certainly will. It's social media superstars Lewis Ball and Isla Loba. So, let's grab the handles, open my wardrobe doors, and find out what's inside. So, today we have something completely different. We have our first couple, not romantic, as far as I'm aware. I don't think so, somehow.
Absolutely.
But if you combine their ages, if I combine your ages, you are still younger than I am, which, I mean, I'm feeling so old just looking at you. And
but you look good, though.
Oh, thanks, darling. I'm 60. So I think there must be because we're on Zoom. But and also, if you're close to my age, you would probably never have heard of them. But my God, your kids will have done. My kids are so excited that I'm interviewing you two.
Oh, yay.
So we have our first YouTube sensation, blogger and columnist, Lewis Ball, and TikTok star, model, and Peckham's finest,
yeah!
Loba. And hey, together, they are the hosts of Pop Culture Podcast, Pop Off.
Yeah.
How are you two? Little kind of fairy spirits. How old are you both? How old are you, Isla?
I'm 24.
Okay, so you're sort of a little bit more than a child. And you, Lewis?
23.
23? Oh my God, you really are babies. But you've achieved so much. And what I'd love you both to do is to just give me a quick biog about yourselves in 30 seconds. Or you can do each other's biog if you want. But Lewis, you start.
Oh,
just give me a quick run through.
Okay, well, I'm Lewis. I've been doing a YouTube called Looking for Lewis since I was 13. So 10 years now I've been online. And I've just basically documented all my life online for the past 10 years, which has got me to the point right now where I am sat here speaking to you.
And you, Isla?
So I'm Isla. I started off kind of doing TikTok and just on social media, like Instagram and stuff. And then I went on a TV show, Peckham's Finest. And now, yeah, I'm doing a podcast, which I've been wanting to do for so long. So I'm like super happy. And I feel like this is like the start for me.
Of something
more.
New.
Yeah, of something new for sure.
Well, I think it's the start. I think you're both, I mean, I listened to your podcast and one of them where you were talking about Botox and fillers. And it was so interesting to get your take on it because I feel the same. And I didn't know that all these celebrities were having their kind of fillers melted, smelted and gotten rid of. But are you kind of pro or against overall?
I'm sort of pro whatever the person wants to do. I do think that there is a slight normalization to the point of almost like verging into body dysmorphia when it comes to the filler and how unregulated it is. And I think there maybe needs to be like some sort of law or something passed so it's a bit more on the watch. But as a whole, overall concept, I am for it because I've even seen like close friends of mine whose like confidence has transformed from it.
I agree. Like, I'm just happy. I think it's great that there's this thing. Obviously, there's going to be a massive negative to it anyway, but I'm just happy that there's something that can make people like people's confidence like go up massively, but I think that the negatives are like quite bad. And just yeah, how normalized it is as well. I am someone that kind of stands for like, I just really want people to be happy within themselves as well. But if that makes them happy within themselves even more, then let's do it. Let's go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because it does appear to be very addictive. I mean, I'm like you. If it's going to make someone feel better about themselves, then knock yourself out. But at the same time, especially when I see young women, Isla, who are going, you know, it's as easy to get kind of Botox as it is to have a bikini wax.
Yeah,
do you know
exactly,
what I mean? And it's
yeah,
like you can go anywhere. And then it's all, I think, from my perspective, especially for women, it's all about sex. It's like when you have fillers in your lips, why do you want your mouth to look like the sort of engorged vulva of a bitch on heat? Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like that thing. And I just think that's wrong because the one thing you have on your side, you know, which is only there for a moment is your youth, and natural youth is the most beautiful thing in the world.
Yeah, I do think that's like the point where it becomes like body dysmorphia, because people are like, they kind of get it to a point where they can't remember what they were like before. They think that their old version isn't like the best, but then there are other people that do like that look and kind of, I guess, go for that look. And it is a dying look as well at the same time, which is sad, which I think is more sad because I think it's sad that that like people's bodies are trends now.
I hadn't thought of that. So it's kind of like your body can become a trend in the same way fashion can.
Yeah, yeah, which is like, because I guess everything like now has just sped up, like social media sped up, just like the longevity of everything, like what we wear, how quickly you can get clothes, how little money we can like spend on clothes, filler, everything's speeding up. So people are getting filler and stuff like that. And it's not something that they're necessarily thinking, oh, it's going to last a long time, because as technology is progressing, they know that there's going to be a way that they can like reverse certain things. I know that there's not always a way of everything, but especially with filler and stuff, like people now know that, okay, I can get all this filler, but I can also get it, what's it called? Dissolved, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So.
Dissolved, yeah. But do you think it's sort of, I mean, I wonder if it's come from, so you have all these filters and things on Instagram, etc. It's whether you use those filters and then you see yourself looking like a perfect version of yourself as much as possible. And then you look in the mirror and you want your image to reflect the image that you're presenting on social media. Do you think there's a bit of that?
Yeah, I think it's also one of those things where things on social media are very like edited, and there's filters which people can literally just put on and they don't even have to do anything themselves to enhance features about them, and then that sort of becomes a realism in that people expect that they look like that in real life. For example, like you can literally just go on Instagram and put a filter on you which gives you bigger lips and lifts your eyes a bit and like delves into a certain beauty standard, and then you take the filter off and you don't look like that, but because you think you look better on that filter, you're like, well, how can I then make that into real life when what you're looking at on that phone is not a real life thing? So it's not something that needs to be made into in real life.
Yeah, I agree totally. It's just so easy to just be like, as you said, like getting a wax. I'm pretty sure the people that used to do waxes now just are doing like fillers and microblading, like all of these like procedures.
And even what you said back to the social media speeding things up, I feel like maybe a few years ago, like even like 10 years ago, when you look at like people that you looked up to, you'd see them in like magazines and on TV screens, and they seemed a bit more like unattainable and a bit more out of your sort of sense of reality.
Yeah.
But when that then bleeds into like an influencer you follow or someone that you like on TV, and you're following them, seeing them do everyday stuff on Instagram, it makes them very much more a real person, which then makes their beauty standard more of a thing that you feel like you have to live up to, in a sense.
It's nothing is like segregated anymore. Like
my
news source is mostly Twitter, because like BBC News posts on Twitter, but then I can also see anything else on Twitter. Same with Instagram. Like if you follow certain pages, you're going to get like a news report, or like someone's going to say, oh, like anything, like just a news. But then in the same breath, it also has just general people that have just put a filter on their face, you know?
Do you think, I mean, because you're both social media sensations, Do you think you're part of the problem, that you've become part of the problem because you are both so huge? But or how do you feel you've both differed in terms of presenting an authentic version of yourselves?
Well, I would say for me, I don't edit my pictures personally. I edit the lighting on my pictures, but I don't use filters. I even spoke about it the other day on TikTok. I want people to stop using filters because I just don't think that they look nice. Like, why would you want to look like the same? Obviously, there's insecurity reasons, but I don't want people to think that they need to look like the same person. Like, it's nice to, like, have, like, an individual nose, like, maybe, like, more crooked teeth or, like, you know, your eyes are further apart or your nose isn't that skinny. Like, look like you. Because at the end of the day, when you go outside, that's what people are seeing.
And also, why do you want to look like everybody else?
Yeah.
The filters just make you look like everybody else.
Yeah.
So, Lewis, you started on YouTube, which I think is amazing that you started. What were you? You were the age of 13. And actually, it was so weird. I had this friend who was staying at the weekend who did this amazing documentary, which you must watch, called Me at the Zoo. And it's about exactly, it's like he was an American, young American guy. And this was in 2012, it was made. But the way he handled it was so much less knowing. But you seem to have come at it in a much more self-aware way. Do you think you were self-aware at the age of 13 when you started?
Oh, God, no. I, at the age of 13, was like, I had no idea. Well, when I was first posting YouTube videos, being like a YouTuber or being a social media personality wasn't a job. It wasn't like an occupation. It wasn't like a thing that people would do. It was around about when I was 15, 16 that I actually saw other people doing this as a full-time job. So when I first started, it was just for pure fun. And I just wanted attention as a child. So I was like, let me see if I can get that online as well as real life. And then I think in terms of that, I was quite lucky that, thank God, I didn't really like start to gain viewers and traction till I was about 16, 17. Okay. So I had like years online of posting and like sort of gaining confidence online, but not to a viewership of like millions of people at the age of 13. So it was a bit more of like maybe like a healthy way in and like a bit more of like a organic, oh, this isn't just like 1 minute I have one viewer and now all of a sudden I'm everywhere and I don't know how to deal with this because I'm 13 years old and I haven't told my mom I'm posting online. So I think that definitely helped a lot. And yeah, I think as also it helped that at the time that I was starting to pick up viewers and brands started to want to work with me, people had been there before and had started to do this as a job. So I was able to like seek help with people. I wasn't the first person to do it.
Yeah.
So it helped a lot that I could learn from what people have done in the past wrong, if that makes sense.
So what do you think your point of difference is? Why do you think, because there are so many kids trying to emulate your success, what is your point of difference? Why do you think you've become so successful?
I don't know. I always say, because some people ask me, oh, I want to start YouTube, but I don't know what to do. I always think like everyone has common points of interests. Like everyone is interested in like, well, not everyone, but there's a large group of people interested in fashion. Same as there's a large group of people interested in gaming, large group of people interested in pop culture. I think that like what it is that makes you sort of maybe stand out or gives you like a leverage over someone else is if you are able to speak about something that people are passionate and interested about while also injecting your own sense of personality and that isn't replicated anywhere else. Like I think Isla does it really well in a sense of like, I first found her TikTok and was really engaged in it because she was showing you what you were wearing, but the way that she would speak about like what you were wearing or the way that she would go about speaking about your day, it was like, she wasn't speaking to you like she didn't know you.
Yeah.
So it was like something new and different that I hadn't seen before, which is why I was so engaged. I think it's that sort of thing of like being able to speak about a field that you know about and you know people are interested in, but either having a different take or doing it a different way or showing like your personality on how you can speak about this thing that everyone loves, but make it you.
Aww.
And also, I mean, Isla, I think that you are, you know, you're very natural and like you just touched on, Lewis, it's you're not sort of, it's not like you're talking to people you don't know. It's like you're having a conversation with a really good friend. And I think that's what's engaging.
Yeah, I think with Lewis especially as well is like he was kind of one of the first to like ever kind of do it as well, especially at that age. So I think like for what I can see from him is like the confidence, like you have to really like, even now there's so much of the same type of thing on social media, to be different, you have to like allow yourself to accept that people aren't going to like what you do, or your views might not be the same, because at the end of the day, like how businesses might get a review online, or someone might tell them something, yours are more in like the sort like or likes or comments and things like that. So like you can review yourself, and like I think yours especially, like yours is like you've worked hard on like the confidence as well.
Yeah, well, it's the difference is like if it's brands or something and someone gives a shitty review, it's a brand. Mm. But you
and
know, you're
so
too
much more personal.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. two, you're people. And how do you deal with that? How do you deal with the haters, you two?
Well, I think sort of hand in hand with that, sort of within like a, if it's about a business, it's about a business. If it's about you, it's personal. Mm. I think it's that sort of thing, which is how, touch wood, like you sort of like have a longevity in the sort of industry, is being able to recognize that you're both at the same time. Mm-hmm. I feel like where people go wrong is when you're too much into this is about you personally, and then you start wanting to respond to everyone and being like, no, I'm not like this, and want to people please. And then there's also the side where you go too into a brand side of it, and you become less personable, and everything you do is calculated to like please everyone and do that. I think there's that sort of like self-awareness you need to be able to recognize that you're both at the same time, and it's probably most of the time not going to be possible to please both sides.
Yeah.
And you've just got to sort of recognize it and read a situation and sort of, you know, find a middle road.
What do you do with a wanker troll? How do you deal with a wanker troll? Do you ignore or respond?
It depends. You know what? It's like, what I love about this job, yeah, is that I, depending on my mood, I can do what the fuck I want. Like, I can actually do what I want. Like, you know, like businesses, they always have to have a decorum. Like, you always have to be professional, not me. Like, if I'm in the mood to like clap back, I'm clapping back. But then sometimes I'm out, I'm having fun. Like, I haven't got anything to say. Move along. It is what it is, but.
Yeah, and I think we were having this conversation the other day. It's one of those things where in the moment, it feels really like, but the internet moves so fast that you need to be able to, and it's a skill that some people have to learn, because it's like not something that's, it's so much easier said than done, but you need to take yourself out of a situation and be like, literally in 2 days time, no one's going to care about this. No one's going to remember. Yeah. Especially when it's like, if people are all jumping on board on one specific thing, they're just jumping on board because they think that they can like get a rise out of it. So you've just got to take yourself out and leave it for 2 days.
And they really don't care.
And like the thing that I've got to stress the most that I think is important is not to rush into any sort of response, like not to rush into deleting something that you think,
I've done that so many times.
People think that, because then you'll go back and once everyone doesn't care anymore, you'll be like, oh, I wish I didn't delete that, because I actually liked that and I agreed with what I said.
It's a question of acting, not reacting.
Yes, exactly.
It? Yeah,
for sure.
I remember you probably don't know because I'm so old, but I did Strictly for my sins, and it was the worst fucking experience of my life, and I was humiliated in front of 17 million people. But they had like a BBC Strictly Instagram, and I was put with Anton Dubek, and I remember there was some really. Basically, everyone was saying, poor Anton, he always gets a dud. And there was one post which was really quite vicious, saying, I can't remember it exactly, but it was along those lines, saying, poor Anton, you always end up with, you know, the ugly, old, ancient, da da da. Anyway, I did respond, and I just said, I totally agree, you know, poor Anton. He's going to be stuck with me. You're completely right. Anyway, so I started this little conversation with whoever it turned out to be. And who it was this 13-year-old girl who I then started direct messaging. And she ended up rooting for me the whole way through.
Oh,
so
really?
You don't know who's behind them or what is, whether it's a kind of knee-jerk reaction sometimes that people put these hateful messages up.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time it's just people wanting a reaction, because they'll comment something and I'll be like, okay, like I'll reply like, okay, question mark. And they'll be like, oh my God, no, I actually didn't mean it. I love you so much.
Oh my God. Yes. I've seen that. So, especially on your page as well. Like I see it a lot on people's, I love reading people's comments and like people's hated comments, because they do that so much, because they literally just want a reaction.
Yeah. They just want the attention.
Well, this is called My Wardrobe Malfunction, this podcast. So I guess we better talk about clothes for a second. But you both look fantastic, I have to say. Nice. You both look so individual. Isla, that colour is sensational on you.
Thanks.
And Lewis, you're just so kind of pulled together. You do look like a rock star.
Yeah, oh my God,
But Isla, you studied fashion, didn't you?
Yes.
You studied. Where do you do that?
I've done that at UAL, LCF. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I did. Do you know what? Like, I was going through a point in my life where I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And I really wanted to just get a degree out of the way. So I was like, let me just get this degree. Like, I like fashion. I got into a good uni as well. And I was like proud of myself for getting into uni. So I was like, yeah, I've got to go here and just get over and done with. It was stressful. But I've got it out of the way now. I'm going to do my graduation this year, actually.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So outfit picking time. I'm excited.
That's so fantastic. And what about you, Lewis? Where's your... I mean, I have to say that little... That clip of you when you were 13, which I've watched, that when it starts, there is a kind of little camp kind of moment, which I saw and I loved. It was just that little moment of... sort of flicking your hand. But where has your interest in fashion come from?
Always from a young age, I was very specific about what I wanted to wear. And I was even very specific. I remember that I thought like our school uniform when I was like 8, 9 years old was so much like hotter when I wore like shorts than trousers. And I would like beg my mom. It would be like February. I'd be like, it's time for shorts now. And she's like, it is not. Like, I'm like, no, trust, it's time for shorts. And I always thought my school uniform was so much cooler with a jumper on. Because it's just more things to add to it. And so it'd be like April, like May, boiling, and I'd be in shorts, but with the jumper on. And everybody would be like, what? I think I always just was interested in being... Different's the wrong word, because I don't necessarily think my style is that that anything groundbreaking or different. But I think I was just always interested in, like, looking the part, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like, being... like that's
What fitting in? Sorry,
no,
fitting
like,
in?
No, like, if I have a vision for how I want to look that day... I will have a meltdown if I can't reach that vision. Like, your style as well, I feel like it just changes. Like, we have so many different, like, just different styles. And, like, for example, today, like, I'm absolutely baking hot, like, in the studio with this hat on. It's itching my head. This jumper is so hot.
But you're not going
to
change.
No, I was like, I want to wear, like, a slouchy jumper, you know, have this, like, hat on. And this was my, like, look for the day.
Yeah.
And I just have to meet it.
I think we're quite similar in the sense that I don't think either of our styles are anything crazy unique or like groundbreaking or like nothing that anyone's ever seen before. But I think what we do is like incorporate loads of different styles to put together something that's like cute. Like you can recognize that it's like good and it makes sense and it's like succinct, but it's not like, oh my God, never seen before. I'm doing a trend before anyone else. And I don't call myself like a trendsetter. Or I don't think I'm like ahead of the curve at all. Mm. I just think that I can dress well and I can take tidbits from like loads of different people I'm inspired
and appreciate
by
it as well,
which gives
me
my own look.
So would you say you both dress when you wake up in the morning? Do you dress on your emotions? Do you dress on how you feel?
I'd say that for sure.
And what about you, Lewis?
Yeah, I don't, maybe not necessarily how I feel, it more just like I think I sometimes dress according to the location I'm going, like if I'm going to something, like I was having this conversation with Isla the other day that I really want an eyebrow piercing.
Oh, yeah.
And
you'd suit that.
That's
you
what I said.
Go for it. Yeah, you'd really suit that.
But the two things that are holding me back is number one is I'm so flippant that I would know I'd want to take it out after 6 months. And I've heard that it can scar quite badly. And my other one is that I sometimes will dress according to like the crowd I'm going to. And though, like, I know an eyebrow piercing won't fit into every crowd that I go into. So that is another thing that I'm like, maybe just hold back on.
Oh, for fuck's sake, get a grip. You're an individual. Come on, just go there. Do it.
He was looking same with an eyebrow piercing. I said that to him the other day.
Yeah, because that's part of your brand, Lewis. You are someone who's a ball breaker in individuality. So I'm surprised to hear you say that.
You know what? It's not that I like I would be embarrassed or anything. I actually don't know what it is, because it's not in any sense of way that I'm like, oh, I wouldn't want to wear that there because I'd be so embarrassed that they would think it's uncool. Mm. I couldn't really give a crap if they thought it was uncool. Mm. But it was more the sense of like, I just don't know if it'd suit every situation I'm in. Mm. And even down to things like, if a brand wanted me to do this one thing, or if like I got an opportunity to like host something, but it was a bit like, I used to do like children's television presenting, And I feel like it's just, after doing 4 years of that, it's like ingrained in me that like there was no facial piercings allowed, no tattoos. I'm just like, now always in the back of my head, like I actually booked in to get hand tattoos and I cancelled on the day of.
Oh, really?
Because I was just wait, what if something comes up and I need to do that?
Yeah, no, I feel you.
Yeah, that's interesting. But, and I wonder if dressing on one's emotions is more of a female thing. Because I'm like you, Isla, I definitely dress on my emotions. So you can tell today I'm like in a scruffy old sweater that I'm feeling quite confident and, you know, chilled with the world. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not feeling that, then even if I'm just here at home, I will dress up like I'm going to a meeting.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah, I really dress up. And then that gives me more confidence and a feeling of self-worth.
Yeah, that's such a good... See, mine's complete opposite.
Yeah.
See, mine's more like, if I just like... Not that I couldn't be bothered today, but like... I just wanted to actually kind of wear something like this, but on days that I'm just not feeling it, then I'm just like, oh, I'm going to kind of match that mood. I feel like you do it the good way where you do it the opposite. So like it brings you up, you know, like if you're like not, but mine's more like, yeah, if I'm feeling that confidence, like I'm going to go out and I'm going to wear a certain thing. I'm going to start adopting that because that is a really good way to think. I like
talk about it on TikTok because I think it's what I say to my daughters, you know, if they wake up and they're feeling stressed or anxious, I always say to them, just put something on that makes you feel great. Yeah. And it really does, even if it's just a colour. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so true. Yes.
Yeah.
I love this.
Who are your style inspirations? Lewis, you go.
I don't know if I necessarily have a style like inspiration. I don't think I look necessarily to people. I look more to individual pieces of clothing or things from like social media. And I'm very like, I don't think my style's that like gender neutral breaking, but I take so much inspiration from women, from men, from non-binary people. Like there's really like not like one specific style. Like I'm not like men's streetwear. Like I love this person, this person. I think I'm quite broad in terms of, I take aspects from lots of different things and sort of piece it all together. And like it's me. I find inspiration through like loads of things. Even like in the streets of London, I get so much inspiration just walking through London.
Yeah, I would agree. I think for me, like the, because I use Pinterest, I'm a massive, massive Pinterest user, especially for outfits, I just get lost in like a thread of pictures. So like everyone just has like a different style or people just have like the same kind of style, but it's like completely different people. I don't think I could pinpoint it on one person, but definitely like going around and like even coming like here, seeing how different people, my mum as well. I love how my mum dresses. I steal my dad's clothes a lot. You know, like, and like my friends as well. Yeah, definitely my friends group chats.
Friends,
we're like, oh, something has dropped today. And we're just like, I won't be able to afford it, but I'll be like, yeah, like then I can take something from that and just like adapt it or whatnot. But yeah, friends for sure.
Yeah, but that's so great that you do that. I think people feel they have more permission to do that now. It's like you see something that is out of your price range. But if you've got an eye, you can adapt it. You can recreate that using, you know, clothes from a charity shop.
Yeah,
100%.
And Depop or eBay or whatever. And I think, I mean, are you quite conscious about the whole sustainability thing and not buying 25 T-shirts from Primark?
I make an effort. Like for the past maybe year and a half, 2 years, to not buy from fast fashion. I can't remember the last time I placed like an order on the likes of like ASOS, Pretty Little Thing, Boohoo, all them. I obviously know that it's not attainable for everyone, and I'm actually in quite a lucky position to be able to do that. Also because I'm one of those people who hate wearing the same things as other people. So I love shopping secondhand, Depop, all those kind of things, because I know when I find it, it's my piece and I can post it on Instagram and like everyone else can't be like, oh, what's the code for this? And I'm going to go buy it and look the exact same as you.
Yeah, I agree.
I've got such like an ego complex with that.
That is so funny.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. And what about you, Isla? Are you kind of like charity shop girl?
Yeah, I try. Like, I try. It is, the thing is I understand that it is effort to definitely shop in charity shops. But I think I actually had like a bit of an addiction to, like, especially I used to work in Central London and I used to go into Zara like and buy something at least like twice or three times a week. And it was just so unnecessary. So, and I'm a bit of a hoarder at the same time as well. Like, I don't really throw things away because I know that once I buy, I'm getting more into like being confident in what I know is nice. So like, if I do get something, if I do potentially buy something from fast fashion, I'll make sure that it's like a good quality and it's not just a micro trend that's just going to die. And I'm going to be like, okay, cool. Like, that's a pair of, I don't know, like a t-shirt or something that I can at least wear for the next however long. And all the stuff that I wear, like, I've like had for like years. I wear stuff from like when I was like literally 15 years old. Do you know what I found the other day? So I had my Holy Communion, right? Which is when I was 7. I had like this little shawl like jacket thing on. I was like to my mum, I'm trying this on. And I swear, like, it fits me, yeah. But if you didn't know that I had it from when I was 7, it literally comes up to here and it's like a, literally like a crop top now. And when you see me out in this little white top, right, it's my little holy, like, I just love like flipping things from when I was younger. It's so funny. But
that's
really
so
good.
In fashion, all those little bolero, little yes. It's very fashionable. But I mean, looking at, I think, do you follow fashion? Per se, are you kind of strict about looking what's in the magazines or on the catwalk, or do you just maybe use that as inspiration to then go and do your own thing?
I think in certain things I can appreciate that they're nice, but I'm getting more into like what actually suits me rather than like what suits someone on the catwalk or someone else. Yeah. Like, there's certain things, like, for my body shape, for my height or whatever, like, I just, like, I used to try and wear when I was younger and it just, I felt good-ish because I was like, okay, cool, like, I, like, look cool, I guess, but I didn't feel good with him because I wasn't like, oh my God, like, I'm putting on this banging dress and, like, it's accentuating this. And I just, like, you know, that in, like, inside feel-good feeling, like, I never got that. So that's what I'm aiming towards now. And if it's, sometimes it takes trials and tribulations, especially with what's coming out on, like, the catwalk and stuff. So yeah, it's a bit of both, really. It's like me and then what I see as well.
Dressing on your feelings. And what about you, Lewis? If I'm honest, looking at you both, I would say, Isla, you're more of an individual because probably you dress on your emotions. And Lewis, you're more into what's in fashion.
Yeah, I am. And I do keep up to date with like fashion weeks and check all that kind of stuff. And I do a lot of what Isla says. Like, if I see a piece I like, I'll go and do some digging first and see if I can find something replicated on Vinted or Depop or something like that first. I think I do. I try not to base everything I do off trends because I definitely did that when I was younger. And as like things move so quickly now, it's just like if you base so much off what you do on trends, then you're just constantly going to look back and cringe at your outfits. So I feel like I've sort of developed my own sense of style within following trends and going along with that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's right, actually. It does seem that you have developed your own sense of style, which is a great thing to do. And it's kind of, you know, what you're wearing now, this is going to sound really weird, but you could be wearing what you're wearing now when you're 60.
Yeah.
And it would still look good. It's kind of ageless. Even the glasses are so fab. Where do you get those from?
They're Gucci.
Oh, they are, yes. Gucci. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You brand whore.
No, I think Lewis is honestly like the blueprint as well, because I'm not going to lie, before I started doing this podcast, I was following Lewis and like, he has a style, and like when I was obviously seeing him every week, I'm seeing him every week now, and like he just has like a it's just Lewis. I can't explain it. I feel like people are copying you, babe.
Yeah. Ka-ching. And how did you two meet? Did you meet like from following each other on TikTok or Twitter?
Yeah. So I actually don't know if you've heard the story. I, like, 3 weeks into dating my boyfriend, I showed him this. I showed him Isla. I was like, oh my God, I found this girl on TikTok. I'm obsessed with her. She's so funny. And I showed her and he was like, oh, I know her. And I was like, oh, that's so embarrassing. I was like,
I know her. I'm not going to have words.
I was like, this is way too early because it was like the first, I thought I was being really cool. And he was like, yeah, she goes to my uni and she's really good friends with my best friend Sam. And I was like, oh. But then it was like, I found Isla through social media, but then we quickly realized we had so many mutuals, which sort of cut down that awkward internet friend.
So that's been, how long have you known each other? Because it seems like you know each other really well because you just kind of fit.
About a year and a half.
It's like, yeah. It's not been
that long.
No, it's not been crazy long. Mm-mm. And like, we haven't chilled a massive amount either. Mm. Like, yeah, I think me and Lewis just... Yeah, we just get on. We're just easy to talk, to talk to each other. Yeah.
And how did you start doing the podcast?
I had a season before this, which I did on my own, and then we went on a bit of a break and like sort of brainstorm how to rejig it about. And the people who we produce our podcast with now was like, "Have you ever thought about a co-host?" And I was like, "I'm not really sure on a co-host because I love the attention." And they were like, "It doesn't have to be like a whole like." Duo, like, oh my God, like you and your best friend ever. Mm-hmm. And they were like, just someone who you might know of, who is into the same sort of stuff with you and is confident and is funny and you think you can get along with. And I was like, you know what? As soon as they said that, I thought of Isla and I was like, I actually think there could be one person who could work. And then we came in and did a pilot sort of thing. And then the rest, the love story is history.
History. Oh. So when you're feeling insecure or... you know, the day or life isn't going brilliantly, do you have something that you would consider to be a comfort blanket that makes you feel cozy and safe?
I'd say my mum. Honestly.
Okay, well, you can't wear your mum.
Something to wear.
It can be your mum.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, to wear. Oh, I always do you know what's annoying is I actually always have like my grandma's ring on, but I've been playing netball recently and I've had it on for so long that like my finger's actually kind of like still growing. Yeah, so I find it really hard to get on and off every week. So I've just like left it on whilst I've got my fingers like it's so skinny at the bottom and like really fat at the top. Because it's literally...
Well, you probably got big knuckles.
So but I can't take because it hurts so much to put it back on. I can't take it off every week. Yeah. But yeah, my grandma's ring.
Okay, what about you, Lewis?
One of them is definitely these sunglasses. I wear them all the time and they're big and they take up a big frame of your face. I also have this big long fur jacket, which I have to be like a comfort blanket, but also in the mood to have, because you know, sometimes when you're in a mood and you want a comfort blanket just for comfort, but you know, sometimes when you're in a mood and you want a comfort blanket to bring you back up. That's the fur jacket because it's so big that it actually doesn't matter what you're wearing underneath because it covers it all. And it's just so large and in charge. And I kid you not, I have never not worn that coat out the house once and not gotten a compliment from a stranger. I constantly have people coming up to me in the street being like, I'm so sorry to stop you, but I love your jacket.
Yeah.
Or like I'll be at the pub and someone will come over and I literally think they're about to like hate crime me for wearing for being this boy in this huge fur coat. Like I remember this big, big like... laddie like English pints at the pub boy came like bounding over. I could see him keep looking at me and I was like, oh, this is a little bit embarrassing. He came bounding over, he was like, mate, I absolutely love your coat, I've just got to say. And I was just like, whoa. I was like, you know what, for some reason that coming from you is a way better compliment than coming from anyone else.
But you say so it's your big Gucci glasses and a big fur coat. They both sound like things that you're hiding behind or you're able to kind of could be seen as armor. So the bit of you is are they a form of protection, do you think, when you're feeling vulnerable?
Yeah, but I would say there may be a form of protection in the way that like they cover, they're not like a big plain piece of clothing that covers me up. They're big and loud at the same time. So they're that sort of thing that will I can put on but I know like they're like things that I know go down with the crowd well. So I can put them on to like basically ask for a compliment to bring me back up.
Yeah, but maybe that, but is it the thing where they're noticing your glasses or your coat, but they're not noticing you?
Maybe. But then it's maybe how I wear the coat.
Yeah,
okay. Well, probably just
yeah, because no, I'm not going to lie, I have that exact, I have that exact coat, and I do not get half the compliments that Lewis apparently gets, so it's definitely him.
Do you share clothes, you two? Do you swap clothes?
No, to be fair, we need to start, because I actually live near you.
And I know, and also I think we have a lot of like same but different things. Like we have the exact same like big bag in different colours. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of the same shoes, a lot of the same coats, very similar sunglasses.
Yeah, so soon.
That's good. So I want to ask your advice, all right, because it seems, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life. I've written, I've been on television, la, 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 I've written books, blah, 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 blah. And it just seems by chance that I'm becoming a 60-year-old influencer. And I keep getting all these brands coming my way, most of which I turned down because I don't actually believe in them. Mm. What? Give me a tip that's going to make something I do without showing my saggy tits or stripping naked that's going to go viral.
Oh.
Or something that's going to get attention without being crass. Or is it a slow build up?
Well, you know how you were speaking about like your hate, like you got hate comments and stuff. You can make something out of that. If you wanted to bring it up. Because honestly, yeah, people get interested by things that you, because I didn't know that you were on Strictly. Especially if you're like confident in the fact that like you don't really give a shit about what people think, it's good to make a joke about people just chatting shit about things that aren't true.
Yeah. To be honest, I've had like one troll, and I congratulated them massively by saying, "I am just so over the moon to have my first troll. Thank you so much. You've made my day."
I think also, people care about people's opinions on things, such as why we do a podcast. Like, people love a gossip, and there's not always someone to have a gossip with in real time. So I always think most of the stuff that does well for me is when I'm giving like a hot take opinion on something, or like I'm commenting on a trend and I'm like, this is really bad, why are people still wearing this? Or like, oh, this is really fun, like people should keep wearing this. It's, people love a gossip. It's human nature to gossip.
I think that's good. And that's, I do find that it's like people respond to each other on my feed, which I like that kind of sense of community. Okay, so this podcast is called My Wardrobe Malfunction. let me just say, Lewis is just kind of showing his breasts a little bit more by opening his MILF T-shirt.
In training. It says in training.
I love that so much. So what is the worst wardrobe malfunction you have had, Isla?
I am someone, like, as I said before, I'm trying to dress to, like, I'm not trying to be wasteful with clothes and stuff. So I used to have, like, a lot of things that just didn't really fit me too well. But I don't know if this is a malfunction. It kind of is. But it's something that's gone wrong with what I've been wearing.
That's fine.
So I was at an award show, and I loaned these like vintage Chanel earrings, and they were clip-on earrings. So a lot of vintage earrings are clip-on. And, you know, I was getting the drinks in, having fun, whatnot. Isla, do not lose the earrings. Isla, do not lose the earrings. Isla, do not lose the earrings. We are in the cab on the way home, and my friend goes, "Isla, where's the other Chanel earring?" I'm like, I check, it's nowhere to be found. Like, I couldn't find it. Anyways, I had to replace it. And that, honestly,
you have to pay for it.
I had to pay for a new one. And that wasn't even the issue. It was more, I don't know, because I just love things like that, like a vintage Chanel earring, like a vintage Chanel. Someone else has got that. I went back to like the Royal Albert Hall. I got them to do an intensive search of that place. Yeah, I couldn't find it anywhere. I had to buy a new one. It wasn't crazy expensive, but...
But how did you find... Because it being vintage, how did you find another one?
Oh, because I loaned it from this lady, and then she just, like, she obviously has the connects to get them. So, I just had to pay her.
Thank
but,
God. Yeah. Okay. Wow, yeah, that sinking feeling. Oh, losing, awful when you realise something's gone. What about you, Lewis?
I would say it's a malfunction just because it looks dreadful, but I think it was a pivotal part of me like growing my confidence. When I was about 15, 16, and I started experimenting with makeup, and I started experimenting in ways I wanted to like present myself, I also decided to take it upon myself to like start shopping in women's section, which I still do to this day. I'm very like much of the stance that it's a piece of material, doesn't really fit either gender. But I was very much like, I want to show how like different I am. And I would go, and I was a bit too old to be dressing like badly. It was like 16. It was the age where like people are starting like, you know, like maturing and getting a proper grasp on what fashion is. And I would turn up to house parties in like women's blouses and like the spray on skinniest Topshop Joni jeans and like a frilly blouse. And everybody, and I look back and I'm just like, that's dreadful. But at the same time, it definitely helped a lot of my confidence, because imagine a 16-year-old.
That is pretty iconic, to be fair.
No, but I think, God, I think that is so fantastic that you did that. I don't think that is a malfunction at all. Maybe in your young mind it was.
Yes.
But I think that shows real class, I've got to say. That's a very classy wardrobe malfunction. And are you, this is again going off on a tangent, but it's something I'm interested about because I see it with my own kids. How politically engaged are you, or are you more likely to kind of get behind a cause as opposed to a political party?
Well, I'm a Green Party member,
okay.
Supporter. So, like, I guess that's a cause, and...
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. So it's, like, both, really, because, like, people always have something to say about something, so no matter where you are, I'm now, like, with Green Party because it's actually something that I, like, believe in, whether or not it's, like, the vote that counts or, like, this or that, or, like, the theories that people have. Mm. Like, for me, at the end of the day, when I'm got my piece of paper and I'm ticking something off, I know that this is what I believe in, so that's why I'm... Yeah, for me, it's, yeah. So I'd say, yeah, it's like a combination of the two, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. And what about you,
Lewis? I think it's hard because especially there's such, this may come across a bit like, but there's a sort of grasp of reality check from someone like living the life I am to someone who's a politician and the one making the decisions, to a point of like, disconnect's the wrong word because I'm still very much engaged and it's like far too much of a point of privilege to ignore what's going on. But there's a point where it's like you can't grasp on what like things that we are seeing happening in real world because you're too much in a far different reality from me. I think what you said about causes is something that I stand, and what Isla says, I think I just try and associate myself with things that I truly believe in.
I think you're so right, Lewis. I genuinely think you know, everyone, you kind of read these things about the youth and how basically they're, you know, they've got no direction, they're all anxious, they're all having mental breakdowns. And yes, that is happening. But I look at you guys, for example, and I look at my own kids and their friends, and I just think, you are so inspirational. And it's like, if you are the future, then... we're going to be okay.
Oh,
yay.
Yeah, woo!
Fingers crossed.
So, you know, I really do think that. And I think what you're doing is, you know, it is the reality now. And you know, people of my age might kind of say, well, you know, it's ridiculous. Why are they living their lives on social media? But that's how it is. That's how the world is. And you can't deny it. You have to embrace it.
For sure.
And, you know, I take my hat off to you both. But one last question. Do you have a birthday suit, i.e. your all-time favourite outfit or garment? And you can't say the fur coat again, Lewis.
I don't think I have something that I own.
I'm trying to think of something that I've held onto for so many years and still...
Or even something, let's say you're going to an award ceremony. Do you borrow something, or do you have something in your wardrobe that's going to make you feel $1 million? Maybe something that's going to make you feel $1 million, that would be a birthday suit.
For me, personally, it's maybe less about what I'm wearing, but it is a fresh bleach and haircut. That is what will make me be like, I'm good to go. And before anything super, super important, like a birthday or an award show or a big holiday that I know I'm going on for like a long time, I will go and make sure that I've had a fresh cut and proper bleached my scalp.
100% in your camp. 100%. Okay. Isla, what about you?
I do have this one dress from Zara, actually, that I've had for years. And it's like a really, it's like a pink, like, frock. And I just love the word frock. I don't know why. But, like, it's just like, is it like chiffon material? And it's like layered and like pink. And it's just like me, and I remember wearing it like not last year, maybe the year before, like with a banging tan, and I can't wait to wear it again this year, like with a crazy tan on holiday. So yeah, I think like that would be something, because I could wear it, you know, with trainers, and I can also wear it like going to an award show as well. So yeah, probably that.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's your birthday suit.
That's my birthday suit.
Well, you too, you have been so fantastic. And, you know, please, if you want to know what's going on in the world and with your, maybe you've got kids of my age, do tune in to Pop Off, which is out, the podcast, which is out every Thursday. And where else can people find you?
I'm over, all my social medias are Looking for Lewis. That's Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, aww, all that.
My Instagram is at Isla Lobar, and my TikTok is at Isla. Isla is ISLA, by the way.
All right, my darling. I just think you are both so fantastic.
Oh,
and
thank you.
It's been a dream to speak to you. And yeah, I wish you all the luck with your future.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, my darlings. Thanks, Lewis and Isla. I really meant what I said about the future being safe in their hands, by the way. Speaking of hands, and specifically fingers, here's Duo with Passion Gitana. Thank you.
wonderful. You can find Duo's new album, Destino, at duoguitarmusic.com and follow them at Duo Guitar Music. Lewis and Isla's Pop-Off podcast is out every Thursday. I'm not going to repeat their social media links or we'll be here all day, but you can easily find and click through to them by going to show notes. Finally, you can find us at My Ward Mal on our socials or our website, mywardmal.com, and of course, subscribe, rate and review us on your chosen podcast platform. That's it. Thanks so much again to Lewis and Isla, to Duo, and of course, to you for listening. Catch up soon. Until then, my wardrobe is officially closed.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.